On this episode of Wines to Find, Sandy and Michelle discuss alternatives to Sauvignon Blanc. While tasting an Albarino and a Falanghina, they discuss the similarities and differences between these varietals and the more common Sauvignon Blanc. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm Michelle.
And I'm Sandy.
We're two sisters tasting and reviewing wine with the goal of taking the WTF out of
Wines to Find.
Welcome to episode 129 of Wines to Find. Our wines today are a Pozza di Lusco Albarino and a Fontana Vecchia Taberna Falanghina del Cineo. I said it slow to get it all in.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. And again, we are here today from our studio, which is has a brand new look.
It does. So you will be able to actually see us, not only hear us.
Mm-hmm. So you can check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram to see the video that goes along with this audio podcast broadcast, or you could just listen as you always do through all your regular podcast platforms.
But exactly. And we hope that we did this so that you could be able to actually see the colors of these wines that we're doing. And so you can see the labels and the bottles. So we hope this experience adds a little more viewing pleasure.
Enhances your Wines to Find experience.
All right. So let's go ahead and, wine number one.
Okay. And so if you do hop on over to that video, what you'll see is that there's some color in our background. So what we have done is we've added a white piece of paper that will help us kind of hone in on the colors of the wines. What are we seeing, Sandy? It's pretty pale.
Pale yellow. I think an Albarino generally is also pale yellow. Mm-hmm. So that's typically what you have. And I think this one is pretty typical.
Pretty typical. Mm-hmm. And what do we smell?
I definitely smell citrus. And some floral notes, maybe a little salinity.
Definitely. Bright, very
bright. Yeah, very smelling, bright, very acidic. Light. Yep. All right. Ready to taste? Oh, we should cheers to our new studio.
Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
And then I get to taste. It's very bright, very fruity, very light.
And apple and lime. It's all those light, bright colors, but still it has some botanical flavors. I smell, you know how it feels like you have those white flowers and all, so you can smell them. And then, like, I don't know how you taste a white flower, but you do.
Well, yeah, I don't know how you describe how you taste it, but I do I know what it tastes like from having tasted wine.
So I do even have, and it does feel like it has some salinity in it. It does. It is light in body. So it's going to need something light and refreshing to eat with, like a salad, an aperitif. But Michelle, you were able to do some research on this location, which is in Spain. Would you like to share what you found?
Yes. So one thing that I have learned is I should never research a wine region, because then it has to be added to the bucket list. And this one, it really got added like up there kind of high. It's the Rías Baixas area or the DO in Spain. And it is located in the northwest part of Spain on the Atlantic coast. It's actually on the border of northern Portugal. So, and then there's a river that floats, the Minho River floats kind of in this area in between that is the border between Spain and Portugal right here. So, and another wine, the Portuguese wine that we enjoy is the Vinho Verde. And so some of the grapes, the Albarino grape is actually blended in with Vinho Verde sometimes. And so that makes good sense.
It does. And I've heard that region is called, and some of you may have heard this before, Green Spain.
Green Spain, it is. And so, and then one thing that I learned in the research is that it was actually settled by Irish. Way back. So they actually like bagpipes, and they still have that Irish culture. So you kind of go, and it's the nexus of Spain, Ireland, and Portugal in
Just a hodgepodge.
So then I was like, well, now I have to go there. But anyway, so the Rías Baixas area, there are five sub-regions in Rías Baixas that you might get Albarino from. And Albarino makes up 90% of the grapes and wines produced there. So it's it's their bread and butter in this area. But there's the Val de Sagne area, the O Rosal, the Condado de Teo, and again, I'm butchering it, Sotomayor.
You took French, not Spanish.
I did not take Spanish. And the Ribera de Ula region. So there's five sub-regions within the Rio Biaxis area. And some of the grapes that you might find in there are not only Albarino. The Albarino is going to be light, fresh, citrusy, lively. There's a Gadello that's going to be a little bit heavier, more medium-bodied, a little bit more dynamic. And then there's the Trix Dura, which is grown in that Ribeiro area. And it's in, also in Portugal. And that's going to be heavier, a little bit more viscous, and it's going to be tart. And so, but if you go back to the Albarino, which is the one that we wanted to feature here, it is comparable to a Viognier, they say. So, and I like a Viognier, so mm-hmm. in flavor profile. So that makes sense why I enjoy the Albarino. And this is kind of a bridge grape for us, because I'm not a big, huge Sauvignon Blanc fan.
Well, I don't think they know what Sauvignon Blanc has to do with this episode yet.
Oh, well, we can tell them why we landed on this.
And what I am kind of glad to hear is mm-hmm. that the Rias Pace area is just a menagerie of different cultures. They did not allow themselves to get labeled.
No. They just love everything.
They went and loved everything, which is kind of what brought us to think about why we wanted to bring you alternatives to Sauvignon Blanc. One of my favorite grapes is Sauvignon Blanc, and I do mm-hmm. like it. I like it from all different regions of the world that you're able to grow it, even though they're a little bit different styles. I do like it. Michelle has not always been a big fan of it. So we thought, okay, what is similar to it, but that could be a bridge? Mm-hmm. And this Albarino was one of the first varietals that we thought of that could bridge. If you like Sauvignon Blanc, you'll like this too. But if you may think Sauvignon Blanc may be too grapefruity or too acidic, mm-hmm. then this may be a good wine for you to try.
A good alternative to yes. Sauvignon Blanc. All right. Well, and it was Grüner Veltliner. So Albarino tends to be like Viognier or Grüner Veltliner. And those are a little bit heavier mm-hmm. in body for me, which is why I enjoy those. I don't like those thin, thin, thin white wines. So okay. that's where. So anyway, so our next wine, number two, the Talberna Falangino Delsinio. Try saying that.
The grape is the Falanginia.
Okay.
And that is located in Campania,
which is in
Italy. And that is in the south. West of Italy. So you have your little boot here. So it's in the southwest Italy, right above Naples. See, we need to get our maps out.
We're going to get right here. I was going to say,
we're going to get our maps out so that we can show you guys exactly where it is. Mm-hmm. So it is in the southwest Italy, and it's in that Campania region. And this is the Falanginia grape. So let's go ahead and look at it and see what we can find. It is a little bit deeper yellow, with a little bit more green hue to it, I think, from what I can see right now.
It's definitely straw in color.
Yeah, it is pale.
And it's heavier. It is. It seems to
be a little more viscosity on the glass. The nose.
It's very aromatic.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a little more fruit intense mm-hmm. than the Albarino. The Albarino is also going to be a little bit northern than this Falanginia, just because of the geography of it.
Can we taste?
Sure. Oh, I get peaches right away. Peaches and stone.
It's oaked. Is it oaked?
I don't know if this one particular one is oaked. Are you getting
like
vanilla
get
in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm.
Well, this is Falanginia. One of the cool things about this grape is that it is a hillside grape. The DOC says that it must be cultivated on the hillside, because the reason for that is if it's cultivated in the valley, it's more susceptible to mildew.
Which is an interesting thing in the Albarino grape. That area is very wet and rainy, especially mm-hmm. in the winter. And so a lot of they're all terraced. So they're both
the
ground.
Trellised.
It's the
trellis system. Yes, yes. Not terraced.
I meant trellis. Yeah. I used the wrong word. So anyway, so you've got these on a hillside in Italy, and mm-hmm. these in Spain lifted off the ground via trellis in order to, for the same purpose, to keep mildew and rot off the vine.
Exactly. The other great thing about this is that we think that there are other varietals that would go well. If you would like, if you want to try this, Valanginia, another grape that you could try, would be a Pinot Blanc, or a Chablis would be something that you could also try, which is a non-oaked Chardonnay from France. You could also try a Verdicchio, which is another grape from Italy. And that Gruner Veltliner that you were talking about that mm-hmm. you are that you favor, that's also another great option for you if you want to try something other than Sauvignon Blanc, but in that same family.
Which was the mm-hmm. purpose, our attempt to kind of branch out from that. And we're all about tasting and trying new wines. So if you like Sauvignon Blanc, you would want to try those varietals. And if you don't like Sauvignon Blanc, you would want to try them and see if maybe you like those instead. So it's a dual-purposed episode, right? All right, so do we want to go right into what we rating these?
Sure, let's go ahead and do that. What do you think about wine number one, which was the Albarino?
That one is very light, very fun. It's perfect for a warm day,
mm-hmm.
and it's been very hot. I don't know if it got to 100 today. It was supposed to, but this is one that it doesn't impact your flavors. A lot of times on a hot day, I just don't even want to think about eating or drinking anything. So this is nice, light, refreshing, fruity, and I enjoy that. So given that it's a nice hot day, I think it's just hitting right. I'm going to give it like a 4. I think it's a good one to revisit.
Well, Albarino is definitely one of my favorite. We've had a couple that are just like really high on my list. And mm-hmm. I think this price point is under $20. I think it's great for the quality of it. I would definitely revisit this. I also would give it a 4. And for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, our rating system is really very simple. We don't base it on quality. We base it on whether or not you personally would enjoy it. A 1 is that you want to find you want to find the kitchen sink because you didn't like mm-hmm. it at all. A 2 is where you would go ahead and finish the glass to be polite. 3, you'll have another glass you found it interesting enough to revisit. 4 is, oh, wow, that was pretty good. I think I'll go find a bottle so that mm-hmm. I can try it again. A 5 is, 5 corks is where you will go and buy a case because you enjoyed it so much.
Right. Right. And so we both gave mm-hmm. that one a 4. And another thing about Albarinos that's nice to note is that, and it's Spanish in general, wines tend to be great values. Mm-hmm. Albarino tend to fall in the $10 to $20. You're not going to find many above $20. So that's always a nice.
You can still find good quality Albarino at that price.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that kind of gives a good help.
Now, same thing with the Falanghina. Mm-hmm. This is the Italian. It was $14.99. And I think it was a little bit heavier, and I think it was a little heavier in body and mm-hmm. a little bit fruitier.
This one is interesting. I can see using it to cook with as well. A lot of times an Italian recipe will call for a splash of white wine, and I can see this being a good one to splash in there. But I don't know that I like it as much as I did that, enough to go in revisit the bottle. So I'm going to go 3.
I liked it. I'm going to give it a 4. I can see myself revisiting this, particularly mm-hmm. with shellfish or a ceviche bowl. I mm-hmm. think it would be really nice with. So I would like to revisit this one. But I'm also I like Italian whites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I also wanted to mention, we have had Spanish wines on several times on Wines to Find. It's a great, like I said, value region. And I did note episodes 11, 36, 41, and 48. Those 36, 41, and 48 were all with the Spanish palate.
Okay.
That's Nicola. She's a lady that we met who represents growers in the Spanish region or in Spain and helps get their products to market and helps represent them in the marketplace to make sure they get good value or they get their representation in the marketplace. And episode 11 was a fun one that we did where we tried 3 different Spanish wines and gave a little bit more history and regional information. So those are all episodes you could check out as well.
Okay. Our Italian wine episodes. We have one that we did with Friuli, which is in northern, northeastern. That Friuli region is mm-hmm. in the northeastern part of Italy, And definitely, if you have had a Pinot Grigio and you don't like Pinot Grigio, you need to go try this one, because that really made me say, ooh, I need to go try those more, because I typically was not a Pinot Grigio fan. So that was a great one. We also have one on the hill that let us try a couple of theirs, and they were absolutely delicious. And we had a couple others. So we might put those
Italian
in the show.
The Italian wine writer
show notes.
Joined us. Mm-hmm. That was a great one. We've actually done a lot more in Italy than we have Spain, which is why I wanted to feature the Spain ones, because Italy's kind of, we've revisited several times, and Spain, I feel like we haven't visited as much.
Aww. Okay.
Shouting out Spain. Yeah. All right. Well, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. We hope that if you do enjoy it, you would share it with that wine-loving friend or family member. And we hope you'll join us next time on
Wines to Find.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Wines to Find. For today's show notes, visit us at www.pickagreatwine.com. Follow us on social media for bonus and live content. Instagram at Wines to Find Podcast, Facebook at Wines to Find, and Twitter at Wines to Find. And don't forget to join us next time on Wines to Find.